is 6:02, and we just did our 10-minute recess to allow for people to arrive to provide testimony on our transitory accommodation code for TPDAP. Did anybody else appear in the audience during the recess who would like to speak or testify in front of the Land Use Planning Commission about the transitory accommodation code? Seeing Mr. Israel raises his hand.
Is there any additional testimony that anyone would like to give?
All right, it does not look like it. Should I close the...
Yes, please.
I'm going to go ahead and close the public portion of the testimony now. It's 6:03. At this point, we can go ahead and open up deliberations.
How would the Planning Commission like to go through this? Obviously, we have our initial draft, which had the red edits, which were very meager in number. We do have the additional edits from the Health District, and then the other edits that have been discussed in public testimony. We can go from the beginning of the document to the end of the document and see if we have questions, comments, or if the Planning Commission wants to take testimony based upon. Or not take testimony, but if they want to take votes on each one of the edits or have the full conversation and then just vote at the end.
Okay. Yes, Mr.
Schreck. We've done the heavy lifting on this earlier, so I urge one omnibus vote on the whole thing that we've reviewed as opposed to step by step.
If we look at it as a whole document, then and then just allow people to make motions for the for an edit and then approve the document as a whole, because it sounds we've sort of discussed a potential edit.
Yeah. Probably if we operated off the Health District's proposed edits, which includes both the ones proposed by staff and the ones proposed by them, then we, of course, have the two proposed changes that came from public testimony. So if the Planning Commission wanted to put the Health District comment draft as kind of the document that we're operating off of, we can then amend from there if that works.
So we need a motion to first approve it and open for discussion.
For the sake of procedure, I would move that the highlighted version we have in front of us, reading Kitsap County Code Amendments, Transitory Accommodations, Kitsap Public Health Comments, be adopted in full.
Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Let's open it up for discussion at this point.
So moving through the additional edits that we talked about outside of the ones from the Health District, we are moving on to page 2, which is 17505020 definitions, moving down to G. There we have a definition of shelter, where there is a very specific addition of wood or metal. The bottom sentence of G, we would include language along the lines of wood, composites, metal, or other appropriate materials. And then it would say as follows, and then that leads down into 1. And then when we get to 2, we replicate that language I just put in, the composites and other appropriate materials. Remove the word off-site, and then after manufacturer specifications, we would include our other specifications approved by the director.
When you said further down, where was that?
I'm sorry. As we moved into G2, we handle the composites and the wood and metal. You continue down the sentence to hit off-site, which would be stricken. And then according to manufacturer's specifications, and then immediately after that, or other specifications approved by the director, then moving on and intended for temporary housing. That's it.
Is that comfortable language for you guys in the sense that it's approved in-house versus on-site to make reference to it being the director?
I think ultimately going to... Planning Commissioner Gonzalez-Harless's comments, we probably want some kind of specification that everybody can operate off of. While we want to provide flexibility, I think we need to be careful not to provide totally open-ended flexibility, which then creates this cloud of uncertainty when someone's moving forward, because they're going to build it, then someone's going to come out and say, is this going to be okay? And I don't think we want to put people in that position.
Totally agree with the baseline. My concern would be during recess, the discussion with Mr. Bulger about the idea that some might have heaters, some might not. Some might have electricity, some might not. Just making sure it's clear and covered on your end.
I think probably if you're moving into heaters and electricity, you're getting into building code, and we have some existing codes that would apply to those. I think if we're talking about the more sparse construction, basically just framed construction to get people out of the weather, I think that's when, or that's when the director's additional specifications can kick in. Now you're just talking about structural integrity, not fire code, not energy code, as Bulger brought up.
When it's listed this way, since it's pretty open-ended as specified by the director, what would exist? Should there be a reference to an appendix? Would it be something that's a fluid document that's changing all of the time? I'm just trying to figure out how we'd end up with, lack of a better term, you know, trying to pick your person who might approve versus the other person who might not approve to make sure it's consistent.
Well, that's why we'd leave it with the director. Ultimately, it's the director is going to be making the decision whether they decide that that's going to be one set of standards or whether there's going to be a set of criteria that will be done at the time of inspection. We'd leave that at the determination of the department to ensure what flexibility is allowable, yet still providing for the public safety of the occupants. So it wouldn't be going to one plan or another. It ultimately is all under Director Garbo at this point as to what is the correct answer when it comes to flexibility.
Just looking through it through the lens of how would you argue this later, Mr. Shattuck might be better at this particular one than me, but in a situation where you're trying to plan ahead, is this going to be a list or some type of approval that would be available to the public to be able to have an idea, a roadmap ahead of time, published and available?
Yeah, I think that's where it kind of comes down to the predictability versus flexibility. I think what the comments that are coming forward from both testimonies, they want to maximize the amount of flexibility. So I think with the department may want to provide a certain level of guidelines, but the more strict that comes down to, that is the enemy of flexibility. So I think leaving it as to be determined by the director can then determine exactly where the predictability, flexibility, sweet spot is in concert with certain members of the faith-based communities who are developing these, as this is going in a fluid process. All jurisdictions are learning from this process right now. So obviously strict guidelines are helpful, but you have to make sure that you're not removing the flexibility for a good idea. Mr. Shattuck's leaning in.
Well, I was just going to offer an amendment. Are we ready to offer an amendment, or do we want to discuss more?
I think we can close discussion then.
Okay. I offer an amendment to paragraph G of 17505020. The last full sentence of paragraph G would read as follows. Allowable shelters are membrane shelters or structures made of wood, composites, metal, or other appropriate materials as follows, : And the second part of the amendment would be an amendment to paragraph G2, to where the first sentence of the subsection would read as follows, a wood, composite, metal, or other appropriate materials structure must be manufactured according to manufacturer specifications or other specifications approved by the director and intended for temporary housing, and then the rest of the sentence as it is.
So we have a motion, and it's been seconded by Mr. Nevin. All in favor of the amendment as presented by Mr. Shattuck? That passes unanimously. there another section that we were looking at? I know that was the one that was a big one for everybody when we were trying to parse out the language. Was there any other section of this packet as a whole that where any of the...
I believe all the other edits were covered by the beginning motion as they all apply to the health district. It would be now up to any other changes the Planning Commission
correct.
Would...
Real quickly to 17.505.040A4 and 5, just to the fact that it's in blue and therefore in the interest of approving in whole, just a summary.
Generally, what this is indicating is this is creating a clear right. If you take a look, the text in black is the one that is what is in the code right now. I think the health district is looking for a little additional specificity as to what is not just a restroom, water, or power. It is adequate water supply, wastewater treatment and disposal, which is not necessarily just permanent. It's also porta potties and things of that nature, garbage collection and disposal, and described and readily available for all occupants. So I think they're just trying to hammer forth a little greater clarity that it's the more technical nature of what restrooms, water, and power mean. It goes back to you want to make the code understandable for people, but you also need to make sure that it passes legal review, and I think this language is a little closer to the passing legal review component than the more colloquial language you see beneath it.
Similar with 3B, page 9?
Yes, they are all of the same. I believe a lot of this language comes out of their existing health code, so it is consistent with how they handle a number of elements and it's probably been... tested at the court of law.
Gina, I would move with the previously approved amendment provided by Mr. Shattuck that we go back, and I would make the motion to approve the document under review in whole at this time.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Motion and seconded by Mr. Shattuck. All in favor with the amendments that have been proposed and accepted. To approve the document as a whole, section 17.410.070, et cetera, proposed tonight. All in favor? All right, that is passes unanimously.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate your assistance tonight and flexibility with me. I shall return.
Thank you.
So moving on, our next is the draft Planning Commission annual report by Mr. Ward.
Dave Ward, Department of Community Development. So, Kitsap County Code, section 2.56.035.11b states, the Planning Commission shall prepare an annual report that reviews the most recent calendar year's activities. DCD shall assist in scribing the report. The report shall be affirmed by the Planning Commission by majority vote present. And there is also a section A that says the Planning Commission shall meet no less than once annually with the board to, at minimum, review its roles, expectations, and performance. The meeting shall be an opportunity to review the latest annual report of the Planning Commission, as well as upcoming legislative and work programs. So in response to that section of code, the department has scribed a draft version of the report, which I believe is in your packets, and it's up to you now to offer any suggestions, changes, edits.
I'd like to add a section on for the clerk. Amanda's been brought on about 6 months ago. You know, our minutes have been very prompt, and we really appreciate having an actual printed agenda when we get here and our materials printed. It was frustrating. Some of us don't care for that, but for the majority, it's been very helpful, and I think we should recognize that since she's boss of all of us. And also... the appointment of different members on the Planning Commission to different, the advisory, I think, who's on there?
Is it
Tom
and
Joe?
Joe are both on an advisory committee.
Yeah.
So going back to the advisory committee part, can I get a little more detail on that?
I think that happened in 2018.
Oh, that's right. You're right. Okay.
Yes, this is calendar year 2017.
Never mind. Okay.
So no other appointments in 2017 that we want to note?
When did Spencer come on? He came on in the middle of 2017, didn't you? Might be already in there.
I can't remember. No, 2016.
Okay. That year went past.
Yeah, in pulling this together and pulling the table in particular together, we just combed through all of the minutes from the 2017 meetings.
That's good. This looks different than it has in the past, actually, so good job on pulling this together.
We were aiming for something that's easy to replicate and is a relatively easy lift and yet is easy to read and digest.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Dave, is there any piece of this that needs to reflect anything budgetary with regard to a summary of the year?
Nothing that is specified in code, no.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that the Planning Commission could not do that. But there's nothing that specifies it in code. What the language in the code reads is that reviews the most recent year's calendar year's activities.
Okay. And I know at some point
that's as deep
Ms.
as
Garbo gave presentation with regard to DCD and budgeting and permit.
Yeah, and we didn't include any of the briefings or training sessions or anything like that in here. We tried to focus it on the actions of the commission itself. But again, it's your report. You can put in it what you want.
Any other anything else? Yeah.
So the reasonable measures took place in 2017. Do we want to put that under review and analysis of the proposed code revision?
We can put that in there.
Because we do have the maximum lot size at the bottom. So we put it in and then took it out.
We have, maximum lot size was one of the reasonable measures. Did the commission... I'm at a slight disadvantage here since I wasn't here for the front half of the year.
Did
the commission actually do a review of the reasonable measures?
Yeah, we adopted maximum lot size in 2017.
2016. That was adopted with the comp plan.
Didn't we do reasonable measures last year? Gosh, I don't know.
I don't think it's in 17 calendar. It was late 16.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Yeah, the comprehensive plan and all the code revision that went along with that would have been adopted in 2016.
Okay. Very end, wasn't it?
Again. Okay. Time for
is there an Alzheimer's ratio allowed in the diet?
We can do some revisionist history here if you really want to go there.
I don't want to go there.
Do you just need us to... move to approve this report so that it can be then go on. Does it go to the commissioners next?
We can do that. We can approve it with the proviso that we'll add a clause in there acknowledging the role and the work of the clerk.
That'd be great. I think we can note sort of when she came on board, at least, that for us was a very good occasion.
Sure. Happy to add something in there. So if you want to approve it right now with that...
I'd like you to give her a raise and a bonus.
I'm going to put that in the minutes.
Me too. I want one of those.
So with the suggestion or the addition of reflecting Amanda's arrival here as our clerk, does anybody have a motion to approve the annual report with that additional information?
I'll so move.
We have a motion. Second?
I'll second it.
And everybody in favor of approving this annual report as presented with the one addition? All right. Passes unanimously.
Okay. Thank you.
Forth and present.
So then the next one, well, actually, this is not a staff presentation. This is a meeting with the board. Okay. So this can either be a meeting with the full commission, or it can be with the chair and co-chair, or it can be any subset that the commission chooses. And staff can certainly help get that scheduled. but we just need to have a sense of what it is that the commission would like to do with the report.
With the report, that you said?
Right, because the code states the commission shall meet no less than once annually with the board to review its roles, expectations, and performance. The meeting shall be an opportunity to review the latest annual report of the Planning Commission, as well as upcoming legislative and work programs.
So my recollection from the past is that we have gone to a commissioner's meeting at their regular scheduled time, and if it can be within the calendar year on a day where, you know, that week we might have canceled due to lack of data for review, if we can figure out what that looks like in the next 2 to 6 weeks, I think that'd be a fair way to play it.
Yep, we can definitely work on getting that scheduled.
All right. So you'll just send out an email to us a possible date?
Sure, we can do that. Okay, thank you.
Did that cover then? So let's see. Oh, now it's Mr. Baker's back on the agenda.
You want to move on? Administrative updates?
Oh, administrative update. I thought that was what we were planning. It's your administrative update.
Our administrative update.
I won't cut you out.
Okay, so my name is Jim Bolger. I'm the Assistant Director of Department of Community Development. I don't have a lot to share with the administrative update in terms of numerous things, but we do have some big news for the department, and that is we have officially hired and they've started a new Assistant Director who's my counterpart, who is riding herd over much of the building and development side of the department. His name is Jeff Remack. He comes from within the department. He'd been our supervisors in that division, mainly looking at the inspector services that we provide the community. And so we're really thrilled to have him. I will bring him along for one of these meetings, as you should all get to know him, as you may run into him up here at the podium in occasion. But we're really happy to have him. And I just want to recognize Dave Lynham, who served in that interim position between Jeff Rowe's departure and the formal hiring. David has gone back to his role as the manager for the building and fire safety division within the department. And so we have a lot of continuity, which is nice. And so we'll be looking at refilling that inspector supervisor position as soon as we possibly can. And that's really it as far as the administrative updates for the department right now.
All right.
Any questions? Happy to answer them.
Do we know what's on the agenda for next week? Do we have any idea what's on the agenda for next week?
I don't think we have anything at this point.
Okay.
We could always delay Eric and help bring you all back for the findings. There is one issue that we'll be looking at, and that is a couple of things. Namely one is we may need to come back and revisit our bylaws associated with the Planning Commission, because I think there's a provision in there that indicates we should be doing findings at the next regular meeting. But I don't think that necessarily makes a lot of sense when that's the only thing on the agenda. So we're going to try, as we've talked about, try and be a little bit more efficient and make time between hearings that we think are fairly non-contentious to get those findings back before you, like Eric's going to do. I can give you one update on some business that the Planning Commission did consider. I believe it was back in December, or perhaps it was January, but the maximum lot size recommendation that came before the board, came before the Planning Commission and was recommended for approval. That went on to the Board of County Commissioners, and they held a hearing up in Poulsbo on February 12th. The department had sent out postcards to the 422 property owners who own these lots that we estimated to be subject to the requirements of subdivision for the 18,000 square foot lots. And we got a lot of people coming out, and much of the testimony really did focus on the fact that they didn't realize that there was even a subdivision requirement there. So they didn't really speak to the amendments that were being proposed, which, if you recall, one was if you had a project that was going to meet density, you wouldn't have to go through the additional process of subdividing. And the other was looking at the net developable acres, so you could actually deduct
areas off of that gross 18,000 square feet, and if you fell below that envelope for net developable acres of 18,000, you could go ahead, particularly when you had encumbrances on the property from critical areas and those kinds of things, because we didn't feel it made sense to create lots that were totally encumbered, and then we'd have to look at reasonable use exemptions and those kinds of things in those instances. So the board extended the hearing or the opportunity for public testimony for about a week. The department was in contact with everybody that had expressed interest in having conversations. The board did not set a time certain or a date certain to reconvene that hearing. We did meet with them a couple weeks ago during a work study session to have a discussion in terms of next step. At this point, they seem to feel like we may move ahead with their consideration of the amendments, and they may look for the department to continue looking at further options. There are a number, and this became apparent from the hearing, there are a number of circumstances where you have not super big lots. They're kind of in the neighborhood of an acre. They're constrained oftentimes by the accessibility of sewer within the 200 feet. They would be really difficult to subdivide and put a community drain field on them. When you start looking at how you provide access to those lots that are created by the subdivision, it can create irregular lots or relatively small lots. And again, this is kind of a case-by-case basis, so we're really looking at are there opportunities to kind of give people some relief from this particular, from the current kind of standard, but really take in the site-specific considerations, the surrounding neighborhood. Most of these lots tend to be focused in two geographic areas of the county, one on Rocky Point Peninsula running north out of the city of Bremerton, which has always been problematic and is still kind of an island of unincorporated area, and the other is the Tracington area. And a lot of these lots seem to be long-held family pieces of property. So we hope to move forward again with the board's consideration of the amendments in the coming month, and then likely they'll be giving us additional direction at that time to look into further relief if possible.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you. Look at that. You got through to Mr. Baker's reappearance.
Advanced enough.
Become bearing findings of fact.
Thank you again. For the record, my name is Eric Baker. I'm with the Kitsap County Commissioner's Office. Based upon the Planning Commission's recommendations and the votes that were taken approximately 20 minutes ago, staff has developed the findings of fact and a revised draft with the language that was proposed in the amendments. If you have any questions, please let me know.
Page 3.
Yeah, that's good.
Come on. Go for it. Okay. Everybody had an opportunity to review the thank you so much for getting those out so quickly. I'm sure you might be the staff who did that.
Yeah. Yeah, so my staff is quite small.
Quite. would move that we adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and recommendations of the Kitsap County Planning Commission to the Board of Commissioners regarding adoption of amendments to Title 17 regarding transitory accommodations.
Do we have a second on the motion?
I'll second that.
Mr. Nevin, a second in the motion. All in favor, please say, raise your hand. That's unanimous again.
Thank you very much this evening. And again, thank you for the flexibility with me and the public as they came to testify.
Thank you. All right. So is there anything left for the good of the order before we conclude our hearing?
Do we have a meeting next time on the 20th? No.
I'm hearing a no. No meeting on the 20th? Okay. So no meeting on the 20th. With that, we will adjourn. Thank you.